This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. Last December, in the last hours the legislature was in session for 2015, a bill passed both houses and was later signed by Governor Snyder. That bill had originally been 12 pages, but a substitute bill of 53 pages was brought in. Several legislators say they didn't know the contents and changes, but it still passed. Some legislators say they later regretted voting for it. It placed restrictions on local governments and school districts communicating information about ballot proposals placed before voters. It was called, in what many feel was an exaggeration, a gag order. It's been criticized by several organizations to the point new legislation has been introduced and passed by the House attempting to clarify the restrictions. Representative Lisa Lyons offered the substitute last year and is backing the clarification this year. She joins us now. So what does this new legislation clarify?
Hey, thanks for having me on, Lester. Legislation, House Bill 5219, really does just clarify the intent of those changes that were made in Senate Bill 751 last year relating to the local ballot questions. That intention was simply protect taxpayer dollars from being spent on advocating for or against local ballot questions.
So it was an idea of maybe a school district or a municipality using taxpayer money to buy basically an ad campaign, right?
Right. This bill, the changes in 571 applied, put a 60-day restriction on publicly funded communications via radio and television advertisements, mass mailing through the United States Postal Service, and robocalls on referencing ballot initiatives and ballot questions in those local areas. And the intent of that was to protect those taxpayers from having to foot the bill for political campaigns. The legislation was born because we wanted to clarify that it was just that restriction was placed just on those four modes of communication. But as we delved more into it, as I listened to some of my local officials and took into account what they were saying, you know, we really wanted to be able to allow for factual information to be shared with the residents. But we wanted to make sure we weren't crossing the line into getting into veiled or flagrant advocating.
The Michigan Municipal League, the Michigan Association of Counties, and Michigan Townships Association believe the better action would be to repeal that new law. They say there were safeguards already in place to prevent public bodies from spending taxpayer money on inappropriate campaigns for ballot proposals. Why wasn't the old law good enough?
I have met with representatives of all of those organizations, and frankly, the status quo is not good enough. What we were finding with the old law is the standard that was used to determine whether somebody was violating the law and using taxpayer dollars to advocate was so narrow that as long as an entity didn't use a couple magic words, and those are vote yes, vote no, support, oppose, there was no violation to be found. That was the standard they were using, which is the express advocacy standard. But that made it so all of these entities, many of these entities, were able to avoid those magic words and comply with the letter of the law when really they were violating the spirit of the law. And that's what the changes in 571 were meant to get at, and that's what this bill very clearly does.
The substitute bill, 571, that passed so quickly late in the session last year, where did that come from?
We had worked on the legislation for a while, and as it passed, you know, out of our committee, we had many individuals come to us expressing some concerns, and we have to take those concerns into account at any stage in the legislative process. As it relates to this section, this is something that I've heard, you know, it's not a new issue. In my prior profession before being in the legislature, I heard complaints about this when I was working for our local realtor association. I heard complaints from my colleagues. I hear complaints from my neighbors. And, you know, so this isn't anything new. And this was brought to us by several taxpayer advocates. And, you know, we wanted to make sure that all of the great things that were encompassed in 571 were able to get enacted. So we addressed the issues as they come forward.
I want to ask you about a Dome magazine article that journalist Chad Slowesky wrote and Rich Robinson of the Michigan Campaign Finance Network was quoted in. They suggested that this idea might have come from the politically active DeVos family. What do you make of those allegations?
Well, I had no conversations with the DeVos family as it relates to this bill. You know, this bill wasn't done for any family or any group. This bill was done for the taxpayers.
The law recently passed was blocked by the courts because the feeling was the language was too vague. The critics of the current legislation say the language limiting local elected bodies to share only factual and neutral information about the ballot proposals is still too vague. What's your response to the bill's critics?
Those claiming that the legislation is too vague, you know, they're just defending the status quo, and that's not good enough. This bill is very clear. It provides clarity to the expectations of our local entity, and you don't have to be a lawyer to know what the bill means. You don't have to be a lawyer to know what factual means or neutral means. You know, the standard that we're using in the bill is a reasonable interpretation of an attempt to influence the outcome of the election. We use reasonable standard. We've been using that since our country's inception. It's in the Constitution. You know, we have juries convict people based on a reasonable standard. If it's sufficient in the Constitution, then it's certainly sufficient here. I just think that's a red herring to continue the status quo, and that's not acceptable.
Municipalities and school districts feel the state has passed much of the burden of maintaining services to them. They say they're forced to go to the voters, and further restricting what they can say about the need for passing a ballot proposal will mean city and school infrastructure will be put at risk. How do you address those concerns?
Well, like I said, I think this bill strikes a great balance of ensuring that local entities can indeed do their public duty by providing factual information to residents, but they will not be permitted to cross the line from informing residents to influencing voters at the expense of our hardworking taxpayers.
That's Representative Lisa Lyons, who represents the Grand Rapids area. Thanks for talking with us about this.
Thanks so much, Lester. Have a great day.